Good morning, Grace Christian Church family. We're glad you're with us this morning as we go stream here live from Monmouth Bonnefield State Park in beautiful Monmouth County, New Jersey. Amen. My name is Rob Parlante. I'm the pastor here at Grace Christian Church. I want to encourage you to listen to the last couple of songs we just did live on Facebook. We entered into God's presence in worship. Amen. Four wonderful songs. Amen. I encourage you to look there. This morning, I'm going to preach a message titled Social or Spiritual Welfare. It's kind of a question, but a title, right? Social or Spiritual Welfare. We're going to look in the book of Acts, and chapter 6, verses 1 to 6, and we're going to look at a dilemma that faced the first church. Many were converted, many saved, but there was a distribution of food being neglected to a certain person, and those people were widows. They were, you know, widows and that had no husband. So we're going to look at that, and we're going to look at how we as individuals today are engaged in social welfare and spiritual welfare, and what is a priority for us, amen? I'm going to look at that. Because it was a priority in the first church, it should be a priority for us as well. And I want to mention a couple of announcements first. All notes for my message are on Facebook page, Grace Christian Church of Monmouth County, and also on njgrace.org, which is our website. And I want to make one other couple of announcements. We have a website, a Facebook page called Christ is Our Life Movement, and we encourage you to join it because there's a lot of wonderful truths that we post every day about Christ being our source of life, source of dependence, grace, new covenant, all these wonderful truths. We encourage you to get on there and listen and join and comment, and we can speak with you. And also, we have a prayer meeting every Wednesday at 7:30 East Coast time, and the Zoom link is on our website. Amen. Amen. So, I've been a Christian for 31 years, brothers and sisters, and in 31 years, I've had served in different capacities in the church, as a deacon for several years, as an elder for many years, and as a pastor now for several years. And I've noticed one thing that I want to say about life and about people and about issues and about problems in society. It all stems down to one thing. The problem that man faces is a spiritual problem, amen? And there's only one solution, and that solution is spiritual, amen? Now I say to you, all problems are solved in a spiritual way, amen? And let me explain why. First, let me explain the situation. First, let me explain the condition of man. And guys that heard me many times, this is maybe something that I've said many times over, but it's worth repeating. Man is born, amen, spiritually void of the Spirit. And that's being called in Adam. Now, Paul talks about that. 1 Corinthians 5:22, he says, "For as in Adam, all die." So the condition of being in Adam is by birth. The condition of being in Adam is nothing we do to be in that condition. It's by birth from our mother. Because we are descendants of Adam. And since Adam sinned in the garden, and since Adam fell, sin entered the world, and we are descendants of Adam. So by birth, we are in Adam. But the consequence of that is spiritual deadness. Amen. And that's a horrible thing, spiritual deadness. Because the root of all issues today in the life of man, in our society, personally, in our governments, in our communities, is a spiritual one. Because man is born spiritually dead and without the Spirit. And I just had a list of a couple things are a consequence of this. For one, spiritual deadness means this, separation from God. Right? You know, separation from God is a horrible thing. Because when our physical body dies, and we're dead, our physical body dies, either we are in Adam or in Christ. If we are in Adam, we are dead and spiritually separated from God. And that means we're in a place of eternal judgment and end up in a lake of fire in a place called hell, brothers and sisters. And that is not a wonderful place to be. The description of that is weeping and gnashing of teeth, just torment. That's not a good place to be. That's what the result of, or you know, issue of being spiritually dead. That's what the end result of you will be if you don't know Christ. Amen. There's no power over sin if you're in Adam. You know, know, I can't tell you, addictions and alcohol and drugs and pornography and all these things can never be overcome in self-effort or a program. You might modify behavior slightly, but you know, nothing but the power of Christ in you and being born again can overcome the power of sin. You know what? Man in Adam has no power over the demonic realm or demonic influences. You know, I say this a lot, and us Christians that have been around, and we understand that we are in a spiritual war. We don't war against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers. Amen? The evil one is in the world system. The evil one, and there's demons, brothers and sisters, there's demonic, in the demonic realm, are there really, I say, their main focus is to deceive and to divert man away from the spiritual answer, which is the gospel. That's what they do. But you know, also, man is void of the Spirit, but in the garden, he was completely and 100% in harmony with God. All God, his needs were met in the garden, but now, void of the Spirit, man is searching for love. He's searching for acceptance. He's searching for significance, value, and worth in things of the world, and that is a horrible thing. That's a horrible consequence. That's the hole in the heart. Man is searching for love. Man is searching for, you know, God's unconditional love, but they don't know what they're seeking. The answer is spiritual. You know what? Being an Adam, you're controlled by your flesh, this thing called flesh, these patterns of living that you've developed over your lifetime. You're controlled by that. Issues and things that happened to you as a child. Horrible, you know, maybe horrible things. Mold your mind, mold your thinking. That's called your flesh. You're controlled by your flesh if you are in Adam, amen? You know, in Adam we have no joy, no peace, no contentment, no satisfaction in life. Nothing. There's no joy in this life being in Adam, spiritually dead. People think there is. People think there's temporary, you know, there's that in drugs or in going on a vacation or this or that. No, there's no joy or peace there or purpose. And if you notice, conflicts and quarrels, never-ending disputes of man. Why? Because they're in Adam. Right? Wars, murders, all these things, conflicts, are a result of being in Adam. And then ultimately, self-dependence, self-reliance, and self-effort. That's a horrible way to live, brothers and sisters. Relying on yourself for all things. That's a heavy burden, is it not? That's all the consequence of being in Adam, spiritually dead and void of the Spirit. So man devises their own plan, and that is worldly wisdom, education, philosophies, even religious activities, in an attempt to fill the hole, in an attempt to get that need met that they can't get met, and any other thing but Christ. But that's not the answer, because worldly wisdom is talked about in James. James 3:15 says, the wisdom that which is, comes down, not from above, is earthly, natural, and demonic. Brothers and sisters, the world system, that teaching, those things, unless they come from biblical principles, they're earthly, natural, and demonic. Now, think about that. Think about that. Think about what's going on right now in our society, in our school system, right? All these new curriculums, right? Where does it come from? Is it from him above? Is it from God? No. It's demonic, brothers and sisters. It's earthly. It's diverting man away from the spiritual answer, which is Jesus Christ. Amen? Demonic influences and worldly wisdom divert a man away from the gospel. That's why it's so important to preach the gospel. The spiritual answer is the gospel, because Jesus tells us in John 5:24. Wonderful verse. One of my favorites. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life. If you believe in Christ, if you believe the gospel message, you have passed out of death into life. You have passed out of being in Adam to being in Christ. Amen? And you're alive. 1 Corinthians 5:22, the second part of that verse says, so also in Christ all are made alive. So in Adam all died. In Christ all are made alive. You see, there's only two types of people in the world today. You're either in Adam, spiritually dead, while you're in Christ, alive, being alive, spiritually alive. That's why the gospel is so important to preach and proclaim, amen? You know what? Once we receive him, we have a new source to which to live life. So many people approach sharing the gospel and say, you know, daughter, brother, sister, your sins are forgiven. That is so true. But there's a better part to that, brother and sister. When you believe, you have a new source from which to live life. And that source is Jesus Christ who lives in you. And he fills the hole in your heart and he gives you a purpose in life. Amen? That's a wonderful way to live. Amen? The gospel is so much more than forgiveness of sins. There's so much underneath that. Man gets a new heart. Ezekiel 36, 26 to 27 says, moreover, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will be careful to observe all my ordinances, brothers and sisters. That spirit allows you to live in the statutes of God, allows you to live godly, brothers and sisters. We can't live godly by keeping a rule. We can't live godly by keeping the law. We can't live godly by some program. No, it's by him who's in us, the source of all things. A new heart made spiritually alive is the way to live the Christian life, amen. That's why preaching the gospel is so important, amen. Now, I want to go back to the first church. I want to look at, in the book of Acts, what happened, you know. If you kind of track the book of Acts, and we know in the beginning of chapter 1, we know Jesus ascends into heaven. He says the Holy Spirit's going to come. He tells the apostles they will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon them. Remember that those verses? He says, you will be my witnesses in what? Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the remotest parts of the earth. In other words, the gospel started there and moved out, okay, to others. The Holy Spirit comes. Peter immediately starts to preach. And what happened? People received Christ. People believed the gospel message. You know what? In Acts 3:19, it's kind of like Peter's gospel message kind of summarized this way. He's telling people, therefore repent. Okay, get to this. Return. So that your sins may be wiped away in order that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, that is a wonderful, wonderful verse. He's saying repent means have a change of mind about who God is, about who Christ is, about how to get your sins forgiven, about how to have spiritual life. He says return. You know, many of us wandered away from God over the years, right? He's saying return. And we talk to the Jews here. Return. So your sins may be wiped away. But listen, in order that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, when we receive him and he's in us, we can enter into his presence, brothers and sisters, because he is in us. That is a time of refreshing. Amen? So not only are sins forgiven, but there's a time of refreshment to your soul. Amen? Peter's preaching. He's preaching. And what happened? Well, let's track it. Acts 2:41. So then, those who received his word were baptized, and that day there were added about 3,000 souls. Imagine that. Preach a message. I can preach a message right now today in an environment like this, and 3,000 people say, I believe. Amen? What a wonderful move of the Spirit. Amen? What a wonderful revival. What a wonderful time in that first church. But it gets better. Acts 4:4. But many of those who had heard the message believed again, and the number of men who came to be about 5,000. Now we're up to 8,000 souls were saved. Amen. Acts 5:14. And all the more believers in the Lord, multitudes of men and women were constantly added to the number. Now multitudes were added to the gospel, were saved from the gospel. Acts 6:7, the first part. Hey, the word of the God kept spreading, and the number of disciples continued to increase. Amen? So what we see here is the first church Peter preached. We're talking about two sermons. 8,000 plus people believed. That's incredible. We don't know how many more multitudes, but that's incredible. Such an incredible move of the Spirit, and that can still happen today, brothers and sisters. That can still happen today. God is still at work. God is still moving. God is still in the midst of us. God is still calling men to Him. But it's a wonderful work of the Spirit. But this presented a problem to the first church. Okay? And here's what I want to explain today, how we operate today as believers and how the church should operate. There was an issue. You know what? There was a need of the widows to be fed who were hungry, amen? That was like a social welfare program, amen? The apostles gathered and said, how are we going to feed these widows? What are we going to do? And what they did was they appointed and selected the first deacons. We're going to look at this, of the church, amen? But the apostles made a point to say that there is a physical welfare or social need, but there's also a higher need. And that need, higher need of man, is a spiritual need. We're going to look at that today. So as we look at Acts chapter 6, verse 1 to 6, we're going to see and expound on man's physical needs and his greater spiritual need. That's why I'm entitling this message, Social or Spiritual Welfare. Okay, and the 2 points we're going to look at today is the need of man is social welfare, point one, and point two, spiritual welfare. I'm going to read Acts chapter 6, 1 to 6, then we'll open this time in prayer. So if you have your Bibles, follow along. Chapter 6, verse 1 of Acts says, now at this time, while the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint arose on the part of the Hellenistic Jews against the native Hebrews, because their widows were being overlooked in the daily serving of food. So the 12 summoned the congregation of the disciples and said, it is not desirable for us to neglect the word of God in order to serve tables. Therefore, brethren, select from among you 7 of good reputation, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we may put in charge of this task. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. The statement found approval with the whole congregation, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith in the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Prineus, and Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch. And these they brought before the apostles, and after praying, they laid their hands on them. Let's bow our heads and open this time. Lord Jesus, we're so thankful that you show us in the first church that many men received you. And that's an encouragement to us today, Lord, in 2021, that can still happen. But I pray, Lord, your Spirit would move, that those listening to me today would understand that they need you. And I pray to the Christian, about the Christians listening to me today, Lord, that they would see that there's a social need of man, but there's also a spiritual need, a spiritual welfare that is far greater and more important. I pray, Lord, that we would use this scripture as a model in our lives to know how to balance this, to be in tune with someone's spiritual welfare and spiritual being, and when prompted by you, share the good news of the gospel. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Point one, man's need, social welfare. What is welfare? What is social welfare? Well, definition from Webster says, it's an organized public or private service for assistance of disadvantaged groups. So today we have what? An organized public private services. What are they? Federal government, local government, churches do this now, right? Nonprofits, ministries, churches. Who are disadvantaged groups? Well, in this case, it was widows, but there's also today the poor, the disabled, the handicapped, right? The uneducated, the homeless, those who need health care, those who need health issues. They all need assistance. Now, I think back on my grandmother back, you know, my grandmother was born, my mother's mother, back about 1910-ish, 10-11, I never got that quite straight, but grew up in the 20s, she was a flapper, imagine that, the flapper, enjoyed herself and really smart, but didn't go to school, uneducated, didn't go to school. Married my grandfather. My grandfather was a doctor in Jersey City, New Jersey, and in the 1930s, and had 3 children in those 30s, and my mother was the middle, my son, my mother, and my aunt, who's younger. But they lived, and they worked, and they lived in Jersey City. They were an Italian family, amen? And my grandfather was a doctor. And he went from, back in those days, went from house to house. He did house calls. Imagine that. And I remember my grandma telling me in the 90s before she died, she said, you know, if this was 90s, was back in the 30s and 40s, we would be millionaires because my grandfather gave people health care for free year after year and never got paid. Amen. Did it out of his heart. Amen. But, you know, he ended up getting cancer mid-50s and he died late-50s and my grandma was a widow. And my parents, my mother and my uncle and my aunt had no father. And back in those days, he was self-employed. And back in those days, you know, in 1935, you know, FDR installed Social Security. But he was self-employed and he never paid into Social Security. So my grandmother had no survivor benefits in 1958 when he died, whatever it was, 59. She was on her own, a widow. And luckily, he had some investments and she made it through. And she had her three kids helping her, amen? And that's a biblical model, that families help widows. Children help the widow. But he died, and she was left on her own. And she got a job, actually, years later, in her 50s and 60s, and got a very small Social Security payment. But you know what? She was a widow, and if she was a widow back 100 years ago earlier, she'd be really on her own, right? So that's the same situation that kind of was going on in the first century church. Widows. Husbands passing away and not having food to live on. Amen. She was a widow. The same situation happened in the first century church. But luckily today, brothers and sisters, in our society, in America, we have other means to help people. But they didn't have it back then. But this situation arose. In Acts 6:1, I'll read it again. Now there's a time when the disciples were increasing in number, and a complaint, now we'll look at this, arose on part of the Hellenistic Jews against the native Hebrews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. There was two groups. Hellenistic Jews were complaining against the native Hebrew Jews. So Hellenistic Jews were Jews who spoke Greek. They were not speaking Hebrew. And the native Hebrews spoke Hebrew. So the complaint was that food was being distributed, but not to the Greek-speaking Hebrew widow. It was first going to the Hebrew-speaking widow. There was a complaint. And then the apostle said, what are we going to do? Well, we're going to have somebody take care of this task. And what they did was they summoned the congregation. And the answer is 6:2a, verse 3, verse 5 to 6. So the 12 summoned the congregation of the disciples, okay, the church. Therefore, brethren, verse 3, select from among you 7 of good reputation, this is the apostles talking, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we may put in charge of this task. And again, this statement, verse 5, this statement found approval with the whole congregation. They all approved it, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit. I mentioned Philip and the rest of these 7. And verse 6 says, and these were brought before the apostles, and praying, they laid their hands on them. Now, brothers and sisters, what you see there is in the first church, the appointment and selecting of 7, and those were what we call today deacons. They were deacons. In the Greek, behind the word deacon is diakonos, amen? And we have some wonderful deacons in this church, amen? Wonderful deacons that have served faithfully for 20 and 30 years, brothers and sisters, and that is a wonderful calling, amen? But in the first church, these guys were chosen. Now, today we know what a qualification is for a deacon, and we see it in 1 Timothy. You can read it, and also for elders and pastors. It's all laid out there, brothers and sisters, but that's not for this message. But the 7 were chosen, and they were chosen to tend to this issue, which was to help those widows who were in need of food. Amen? And today, there are deacons in churches. It's a church model, and they're used of God in the ministry. Amen? And we have wonderful deacons here. But I want to say this one point. That the apostles said, that's important, but there is a greater need. There's a greater need, and that need is a spiritual one. I'll show you why. The spiritual need of man is greater than the physical need of man. That's my second point. Which is spiritual welfare. Because they said in Acts 6:2b, they said, the apostles said, it's not desirable for us to neglect the word of God in order to serve tables. And then verse 4, they say, but we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. So they're saying it's not desirable for us to do that. There's something of a higher priority for us to do. The ESV says it's not right. The ESV version says it's a little bit different. It's not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. The Amplified in 6:2, he says, it's not seemingly or desirable or right that we should give up or neglect preaching the word of God in order to attend to serving at tables and superintending the distribution of food. So they're making a distinction here. What is more important to the apostle? Now, the distribution of the food is important, but there's a higher priority. There's a higher, more important thing they should be doing, and that is preaching the word of God. Amen? In other words, their priority was the spiritual welfare of man, not the social welfare of man. The deacons will take care of the social end of it, but the priority was the spiritual welfare of man. Teach and preach the word of God. Now, why do you think that's the case? Because I said in the beginning, man's problem is a spiritual one, right? And the apostles understood this, right? Christ will meet all man's needs in life, amen? And all his physical needs, really, ultimately as well, brothers and sisters. But we, most of us, have these our priorities upside down. Okay? We have our welfare prayer, I'll call it welfare prayers, upside down. You know what? We're engaged in some good deeds, amen? We're engaged in a lot of social activities, amen? We're engaged in helping people, amen? And that's a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful thing. But we neglect the more important thing, which is the spiritual welfare of those people we are socially working with, amen? Think about that. Do we share the word of God? Do we share the good news with people we minister to? Do we? You know, I would say most of the times, I'm not pointing fingers at anybody at our church, but I'm saying, but most of the time we don't. Because it's easier, I think, to help somebody and give them food. That's wonderful. But they have a greater spiritual need. They have a greater need, and that is spiritual, and that is their soul. Are they spiritually alive or are they spiritually dead? The church has veered away from what the apostles first said they should be doing, which was preach and teach the word of God and minister the word of God. Amen? We've gotten away from it. Our priorities are going upside down. Amen. Amen, brother. Man's spiritual welfare is more important than man's social welfare. You ever think about that? We help people. We give to people, we serve people, we do all types of things, and that's wonderful. But where's their soul? Where do they end up in heaven, in heaven or hell? Do we tell them the good news? Do we teach them about Christ? Do we show them the way they can fill the hole in their heart? Do we? Because brothers and sisters, to me, if the apostles thought that was more important for them, I think it's more important for us today too as well, amen? Share the word of God. Share the word of God and the gospel message. And the thing is, we don't have to be trained in some special, you know, I got to go to, here we go, seminary to learn this, brothers and sisters. Okay. You don't have to go a 4-year track and, you know, I've taken all kinds of classes and what I've seen is this. It's very simple. Christ died for your sins and rose again on the third day according to Scripture. That's the gospel. Do you believe it? That's more important than giving somebody something to eat, a social welfare program, amen. Is their soul? Are they saved? You know what? But you might say, well, I'm not an apostle. I don't have that skill set. Well, it doesn't take a lot to ask that question, right? How about, do you believe Christ died and rose again for the forgiveness of your sins? Do you believe it? Do you know that Christ can meet all your needs? Amen? Do you know? Because the apostles understood this is greater spiritual need than the physical need. Amen? And in verse 4, they said, we devote ourselves to prayer and to ministry of the word. You know what? We need to devote ourselves to prayer and ministry of the word. Amen. I don't care. We're not apostles. It doesn't matter. You're a believer. Okay? Devote yourself to prayer and ministry of the word. Really, this means share the scriptures. Read the Bible. I mean, I'm not a legalistic guy. I'm not legalistic. But you know what? Get to know him. Spend time with him. Amen? Let him work in your life. Amen? Let him work through you. Amen? Devote yourself to prayer and ministry of the word. And 3,000 maybe souls will be saved this time next week. Amen? Do your good deeds to fellow man lead to a conversation about their greater need, which is spiritual. Their spiritual welfare. Are they? Because they're void of the Spirit. Amen? That's kind of what I want to talk about today in my conclusion. Where are we at with this? How are we engaging people? How are we working in life? How are we moving forward? Nothing wrong with helping people. But bottom line is, brothers and sisters, if that person doesn't know Christ, if that person isn't spiritually alive, that's so sad. Because the early church had an issue. And the early church said, you know what? The apostles said, we have a higher priority, and that's the spiritual welfare and ministry of the word of man. But we'll also take care of the physical side. So social welfare, brothers and sisters, meets a need. The world system can meet some of these needs, but they can't ever meet them all because the problem is spiritual. You see that? Sooner or later, these programs are going to run out of resources, amen? By the way, God never runs out of resources, amen? God never runs out. He's the ultimate source of all things in life, amen? You know what? The systems we put in place, even though they're wonderful and they help people, are going to run out of resources. And you can think about that today, even our Social Security, you hear it every year, right? You're never going to get it. I've been hearing it for the last 20 years. When you get to be 65, you'll never receive it because there won't be any left. We'll see. Yeah? Spiritual welfare is so important. You know what? Let's not neglect that. Let's be in tune to the Spirit. Let's engage people in the truth of the gospel. Because brothers and sisters, we need this now. This country needs revival. This country needs to make a turn. We just came out of COVID. We just came out of a mess. People need Jesus Christ. Amen. Social or spiritual welfare. Work together, but don't neglect the spiritual welfare of those people you minister to, brothers and sisters. And I'm going to close this in prayer, and we'll see you next time. Let's bow our heads. Lord Jesus, it's my prayer, Lord, that you would just balance us, Lord, in how we approach living the Christian life as servants and as we see people and we help them and we meet their needs, physical needs, that we would understand that there's a greater need, and that's spiritual. They need life. I pray, Lord, that we would not be afraid and we just ask the simple question, do you know Jesus? Do you believe? Have you passed from death to life? Are you in Adam or are you in Christ? Because in Christ all are made alive. If you're in Adam, you're spiritually dead. All die. I pray, Lord, you would bring people and draw them to those listening to me today to hear the great news that you give life. Thank you for this time. In Jesus' precious name. Amen.